Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
I'm Dave Jackson, editorial writer here at Stockhouse Media. This podcast is part of our metals and mining sector interview series, and our mission going forward is to help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. The world's most iconic precious metal has soared back into prominence in recent months. Yes, gold is back and with a bang. Coeur Mining is a TSX-listed junior gold company offering exposure to precious metals exploration and development in North America. Coeur owns 100% interests in the Imperial and Long Valley Gold Development Projects located in California and the FG Gold and Gold Creek Exploration Projects in the Caribou regions right here in BC. Combined, the company's projects boast multi-million ounce gold development opportunities. Today, we're glad to be joined by Scott Treblecock, Coeur's president and CEO. Mr. Treblecock has over 25 years of experience as a process engineer, management consultant, and mining executive. Most recently, he was chief development officer of Nevsun Resources, responsible for strategy, corporate development, investor relations, and exploration. Mr. Treblecock holds a Bachelor of Science degree in chemical engineering, an MBA from Queen's University, and is a chartered director. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thanks, Dave.
So first off, for our mining investor audience, can you just tell us a little bit about the history of Coeur Mining?
Well, Coeur is a new company. We're currently listed on the TSX Venture under K-O-R-E. But the company only went public about 10 months ago. And going back a little bit before that, the company was private and right at the bottom of the gold markets when no one really cared about gold mining. They were able to acquire two assets in California, Long Valley and Imperial, as a private company at very low prices.
Yeah.
They were then able to do a reverse takeover of a junior to get our public listing. That was last November, and it was really challenging time. So it was a huge accomplishment to get this company public during that time. The company then worked to get capital and eventually got $4 million strategic investment from Macquarie Bank in May, so allowed the company to actually start working its assets. Then another $3 million from Eric Sprott in late August.
Okay.
So we're now well capitalized to work on both our development and exploration properties. And I joined the company in July to, you know, help spend that money and bring shareholder value from actually working this great portfolio that was built kind of in the depths of despair of gold.
Well, it is, like I said earlier, it's back. Now, as the new CEO, what attracted you to Coeur in the first place?
Well, coming off the first question, really because it was a new equity.
Yeah.
And as a new equity, often you'll find companies in the market are, you know, broken in some way. They've had a long history at a higher share price, and you have a lot of pissed off shareholders, and they're looking to sell as soon as you go up again. You know, I like that this was a new equity in the market.
Sure.
It was largely owned by a very tight group of shareholders, so the capital structure remains very tight. Insiders and the board own 50% of the company.
Okay.
Eric Sprott has 12% of the company. Macquarie has 5% of the company. And there's a lot even more with friends and family. So we have a liquidity challenge, which is something we'll work on over time, but we know exactly where the shares are and we can control our own destiny because we'd hate to see this company get taken over with these great assets at some low price while we're just sort of getting going in the markets. So I like that aspect of it, the capital market side. It's gold. I mean, you hit it at the beginning. I was in a base metal company before this, and I did not think it was the right move to go back into base metals. I like the founders of this company. Two of them, Adrian Rothwell and James Hines, remain on the board. They collectively control about 40% of the stock.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're working right with the foundations of the company to build a new equity in the gold market.
Excellent. Now, you've attracted some significant investment from longtime gold bull. You just mentioned the name, Eric Sprott. Can you tell us why he invested in Coeur?
I can't actually look inside Eric's mind. He's investing in lots of gold.
What would you speculate?
Yes, I'll certainly speculate. You know, I believe what attracted Eric to the company was the advanced nature of our assets. He tends to like companies with meat on the bones, yeah. often with resources, so he can look at the valuation then of those resources and decide whether he's getting a good deal or not. You know, Core has four main assets. Three of them, well, two of them have current resources. One has a historic resource. They're multi-million ounce resources. So the three assets in the company are advanced. We can use Eric's money to deploy drills to add value to those assets in a relatively low-risk way, as opposed to wildcatting or greenfield exploration, where a couple misses and a couple missteps and you know, your company's nothing. We have three good horses in the game here, all with really good drill targets that we can add value to. So I think Eric really liked that part of the company. Mm-hmm. You know, you add to that a development project on the side, which is we want to enter into permitting, which is a relatively low cost as opposed to doing all the work to actually get the project ready for permitting. So we kind of have the best of both worlds. We're at a relatively low cash burn rate to deliver value from permitting, and we can deploy the drill bit on our shallow deposits and generate some good news flow, really, to keep investors excited about the name.
Awesome. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the development project, Imperial? It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Imperial, I mean, I'll go back to the founders again. They did an incredible job looking for and finding these assets and, you know, being in the right place at the right time mm-hmm. by acquiring low. So we're using, again, Macquarie's capital to advance that project. Macquarie's money, which was a $4 million investment in May, the use of funds is to restart permitting at Imperial. So that was part of my motivation for joining the company. Macquarie is a bank. It's not the client's money. This is the bank's money. So banks usually are fairly risk-averse. Now they're using this equity investment because they ultimately want to loan us money to build the project.
Of course.
But all that's saying is the bank believes that we can actually build a project here. So there's sort of some backing saying, hey, we think you can make a go with this asset. Imperial was discovered and drilled out in 94, 95, 96 timeframe by Glamis Gold, which is now Goldcorp.
Mm.
They ran into a change in environmental politics in California, ran into Clinton-era environmental pushback from Washington. Gold price went down. They were taken over by Goldcorp, and the project wasn't big enough to then be a Goldcorp asset and kind of sat on the shelf. So it's really sat there with very little work on it, kind of ignored. Well, the dust settled in California and you know other projects are starting to move there now. So Macquarie and Core believe now's the time to look at assets like this and move them back into the permitting process to generate some economic value for our shareholders and for the communities in California.
Banks like undervalued assets.
Everybody likes undervalued assets, and so do
your shareholders. Now,
that's right.
Can we talk a little bit more about the other exploration projects, Long Valley, FG Gold, and Gold Creek as well?
Yeah,
the Canadian properties.
Yeah, and we're really just starting to talk about these assets. When Core was struggling with its RTO earlier in the year, nobody was interested in Gold Juniors 6 months ago.
Yeah.
The company was really just talking to the market about Imperial because it was an asset that was very well defined. You could see where it was going, eventually attracted Macquarie, and this portfolio of exploration kind of sat in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're now trying to bring that to the fore with Eric Sprott's investment to start working on some of these assets. And we sat down as a board, about a month ago, just to look with, now once we had the Eric Sprott money and say, what are the best of those three exploration assets to spend? So I'll kind of go through them in that order.
Sure.
We decided the first program we're going to do is on the FG Gold Project, which was also called Fraser Gold Project. It was drilled, there's about 1 million ounces of 0.8 grams, drilled out by Eureka Resources in 2006 and 7. So again, an asset with a resource on it. Now that resource is not economic. I mean, 0.8 grams in a hard rock mine in BC is not a great result.
Yeah.
But they are open at depth, open on the sides. We believe they're chasing a pretty big system. And the interesting thing is they were drilling it like a disseminated resource.
Mm-hmm.
They were drilling through a large sedimentary package, smearing all of their grade across large intercepts and trying to say, we want to find 1 million ounces in a gram plus so we can have a big open pit mine. That was sort of the mindset when they were raising money. And they did a lot of cheap drilling trying to define that. They did RC drilling, which meant you didn't understand structure.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know what was going on. And when you actually go back and re-look at their data and look at the individual intercepts that they were hitting, they were getting multimeters of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, anywhere up to individual assays of 256 grams. which meant that which means there's really high grade veins inside the system, but
they
no,
just did a sloppy job in the first place. It did.
I don't want to be critical. I mean, they had a different theory. They were looking for a bulk disseminated deposit. We believe you can go back and connect up some of those higher grade portions of that deposit, go back with core drilling, look at the structure and try and connect some of those, drill the deposit from another angle and chase it down plunge and look for grade. So that's what we're going to do. Eric liked that that theory, and we're going to, we have a drill program we're currently permitting. We'd like to have drills turning by the end of the month, and we expect to be delivering results from that drill program in, you know, late December, January, and right through to PDAC. So that's sort of the first thing. The holes are all shallow. The deposit, you know, comes right to surface. It was discovered by a soil anomaly. So we're only drilling 80 to 100 meter holes here, and it doesn't cost a lot of money.
Well, good luck with that. Now, can you discuss the long-term strategy of the company moving forward, and, you know, how do you see the gold exploration sector evolving in North America moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think it's all going to be dependent on the gold price.
Well,
and the gold price is helping us all out here. If the gold price continues to stay stable or perform, the big caps will produce cash flow.
Yes.
They'll chase the mid caps. The mid caps will be looking for growth. Everybody will look for growth. And that capital will flow down to companies like Core. That will allow us to do more work on our assets, generate more excitement with investors, add more value to our projects, and, you know, create the opportunities that come in an up market. And I think that's where we're heading. It looks like all the signs are on that gold price, while coming off a little bit lately, still looks like it's a good place to be. So I think there's going to be capital to keep investing in exploration like there hasn't been in many years. And that's very exciting to me with a portfolio of assets I'd like to spend money on.
Well, the politically friendly jurisdictions that you're working in, the ROI looks good right now. So where, you know, just not just in North America, but where do you see, where should we be watching Core in the upcoming months?
So Core is investing money in the exploration program, Fraser. That's number one. The second program we want to do is on Long Valley, which is the second asset in California. It's got a current resource on it. It's very similar to these other ones. It was drilled in a different era with a different target in mind. And we're looking to both expand and change that to look for a project that's more palatable, because there's a reason these projects sat on a shelf. That's another very interesting. So we expect to have drill results all the way through PDAC from those two projects. So that's sort of the exciting exploration side. If any of those hit, they could become the main asset of the company, because we're only a 35 million Canadian market cap. And if each one of these assets perform the way we think we will, they could easily justify the value of the company as individual assets. And then in the background, we've got to continually use the Macquarie money to de-risk Imperial. We're currently working on updating the resource, so we'll have a current resource and a new 43-101 report on Imperial coming out in a couple weeks here. We're then working with Newmont, who was previously Goldcorp, who vended the asset to us. We owe them $1 million payment on us doing a PEA, and we would like to do a PEA in Imperial as soon as possible to show shareholders the value in the project. So we've got to work with Newmont to figure out how we, you know, make that payment fit within Core's capital structure. If we can get an agreement with them, then we'd like to go out and actually complete that PEA before Christmas, have a site visit, and now we can get analysts in the market talking about Core as a developer with a PNAV, not just a resource multiple. And that sort of kicks you up the world of interest. We're hoping that'll then allow us to get on the radars of more institutions and, you know, try and create that snowball to really add value for what's really an unknown new company.
And the retail investors as well.
Absolutely.
All right. So finally, can you, you know, Scott, just tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of this stock, you know, why it's a value buy right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a few times. I mean, it's new.
It is.
You know, when I came to join Core and I was doing my own sort of individual due diligence, you know, call up some friends on the street in Toronto, what do you think about this name? And a lot of people were like, Core? You mean the company out of Chicago? I'm like, no. You mean Core, those guys in Ecuador? I'm like, no. K-O-R-E, Core. And I think it was that was part of the opportunity I saw, which the name, they just didn't have the money to get out there and tell people about the name. They didn't have the money to generate news flow to keep investors excited. And we now have those pieces in place. I'm actually off tonight on the red eye to fly to New York to meet with retail investors. Then we've got a whole roadshow across the U.S. over the next 3 months. We're going to all the main conferences. We'll be in New Orleans. We'll be in San Francisco. Really just to get people know what is Core. So, I mean, I think that's the heart of the argument right there.
Well, good luck, Scott. And once again, we have been speaking with Scott Drebelcock, President and CEO of Core Mining. I'd like once again to thank you, Scott, for joining us and sharing your helpful and insightful information about Core Mining with our Stockhouse Podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Metals and Mining Sector Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Dealroom on-site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.